Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. You guys can take your seats. Let's get into the Word. Anyone bring their Bibles tonight? I'm going to put this guy down. Get my notes up. Guys, I'm really excited. I'm so impacted by people like Don and Hannah. Hey, they live just eyes on Jesus. And I just feel like Paul says, I was reading this in the Bible like a couple of hours ago, just flicking through some notes and stuff. And Paul says, take note of the faith of others. And use that, and you make that spur you on. Let it inspire you. I feel like we can move past those moments really quickly. People like Pastor Don and Hannah, we're so blessed to see their faith in action, them following Christ, no matter what has happened, no matter what they face, redirection and stuff like, no, whatever has happened, they're keeping their eyes on Jesus. It's so encouraging. Amen. We're going to get into the Word. I'm really excited. I feel you're going to have to bear with me today if this feels a little clunky. I've had a little bit of time working through what God's actually saying today, and I just feel like real simple Word tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Psalm 145. This is a great psalm. Jess read some of this just before when she got up on stage here, and we're surrounding this whole month that we're doing this legacy month as we are going into the 100 years of Pneuma Church. We are focusing, we're looking back on 100 years, and I feel that as we look back on 100 years, we should also be looking back on really 2,000 years of Christianity, of believers passing on the baton of faith to the next generation, filled with the Holy Spirit and confessing Jesus as Lord. It's so simple. Keeping Christ as King, and I will follow Him. And that is what believers who have done all through generations. And we're camping around Psalm 145. We're just going to read it. It's a little bit of a long psalm. It's about 20 verses. We're just going to read the whole thing because I feel like there's something on Scripture that happens when we just read the whole thing. Paul said to Timothy, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. And so that's what we're going to do. Psalm 145, I'm reading from the ESV. Verse 1 says this, I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Wow. Verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. I will declare your greatness. They will pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. They will sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Verse 10. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and tell of your power. Verse 12, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Verse 14, the Lord upholds those who are falling. He raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. You give them food in their due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He is kind in all his works. He is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves those who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth, look how this ends. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That was I hope you could follow along. I hope we didn't lose you. I hope your translation didn't trip you up in different words when I'm saying that. You know when you got different translations and someone's going like, I'm not following anymore. I used to read the Passion Translation. That was a big trouble for me. I'm going to talk tonight on living with eternity in mind, living for eternity. Surround it. We're starting. It's going to be interesting. You're going to have to camp with my train of thought. We're going to start around praise and we're going to land with living in eternity, living with eternity in mind. That is the goal that I'm living for on earth. Psalm 145 is a fantastic psalm. It's part of, some people think the book of Psalms is actually really randomly assorted and just thrown together, almost like people are just thrown together and that's how it came out. No, it's actually quite structured. There's a lot of structure that you see in the book of Psalms. There's five books that mirror the first five books of the Bible. And at the end of each book in the Psalms, it says the same phrase and it is a confession of praise to God. It's the same thing that goes at the end of the book of Psalms. And at the very end in the fifth book, the book of Psalms has this thing called the Hallelujah Psalms. I wonder if you've ever read from Psalm 146 through to Psalm 150. They're all like this big ramp of ramping up of this praise of almost sounding like heaven. It's so interesting. They're called the Hallelujah Psalms. And they all are just, they're just praising God. And there are some scholars I've been reading a little bit about, Psalm 145, and they say it's almost the gateway to this sort of, this bridge of hallelujah that happens. This psalm, I read a Jewish scholar actually said, this psalm praises God by telling people how to praise God. It tells people what praises God. It is a commitment, it's almost this commanding of my soul to praise Him. To praise Him. And so we're going to camp around some really simple things tonight that I really feel that God would reorientate our hearts, that we would be reflective tonight, that we would let God search us. Let's actually pray that for a second. David prays this prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know if there's any wicked way in me and lead me back in the way everlasting. So let's just pray that. Open your hands if you feel comfortable. Father, we say, search us. Know our hearts. You already do. And if there be any way in us that needs correction, that needs reminding, that needs exhortation, that needs encouragement, whatever we need today, we pray that you would nourish us and that you would correct us and that you would have your way in us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does praise do? Number one, it changes us, not God. Praising God never changes who He is. That's actually why we praise God. God is praiseworthy and we give Him praise and we worship His name and we thank Him and we celebrate Him and we remind ourselves, God, you deserve the applause, you deserve the highest praise because He doesn't change. Could you imagine if almost God's like this little meter that we need to like top up with praise, otherwise He sort of deflates Himself. God, but sometimes, I'm serious, sometimes we in church, we can behave like this. It's like, no, I need to pray, I need to get my mind right, I need to do this. And I wonder if you did that in church today. It's easy to praise God when it's like, oh, I'm getting my mind right, I'm feeling right, and now I can praise God because I'm feeling happy, clappy, and everything's all right. We get to praise God because He doesn't change. It changes us. It's so simple, but it does something very important in us. It directs our eyes to who He is and what He has done. I'm so thankful every time. It's like, I wonder if you came in even today, you're feeling heavy, you may be sitting in the back row, whatever's going on in life, and you feel heavy, life's going crazy, job's not working out, whatever is happening, relationships, whatever it is. And sometimes you come in heavy and just letting yourself contemplate the words that you're singing reminds you of who He is. And it's suddenly going, actually, it's not so bad at all. Stuff's going crazy around me. But I remember my God is faithful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful God has not changed in 2,000 years. To be honest, in all of eternity has not changed. And that is why He is praiseworthy. That is why in heaven they don't stop singing, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Because he's so good. He doesn't change. I, the Lord, change not, it says in Malachi. We know that verse in Hebrews that says, what does it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is why we get to praise God. It changes us, not him. He is unchangeable. And that is why it's the solid rock that we stand on. Number two, praising God feels tough when life is tough. I wonder, and I was touching on this before, I wonder if you struggle to praise God when life is hard. I do. If you do, welcome to the club. That's the life of this Christian walk of almost pilgrimage to Jesus, following him for our lives and onto eternity, is that we are in a human body. That is not a bad thing. We have human emotions that are actually a gift. It is not sinful. You face emotions that are high and low, and God has placed you that in that way as a gift. He's wired you that way. Could you imagine if we just had no emotion? Sometimes we wish we didn't have emotion when things are going bad, but we love it when it's all joyful and everything. But there's actually such blessing in God placing us in a body. We risk sometimes of being like, no, it's all about praising God, and we minimize the circumstances that we are in. And we risk almost, bear with me as we go through some church history, we almost become like, there's this thing, has anyone heard of the thing called Gnosticism? Gnostic is basically, body is bad, spirit is good. We as Pentecostals and as Christians can fall into this trap. Body, and all of my emotions are bad, and I should just come, I'm like, no, it's all good, and I'm going to praise God. But emotions are a gift, good or bad. They're an indicator, but they're a terrible master. And so while we don't minimize and just go like, it's just about only the heavenly things and nothing in my life matters at all, then we've missed the point, because God has placed us here for a reason. And it's only in these circumstances that we can offer costly praise. Only in these circumstances. But there is something on the will of, I will choose to praise God. Let's look at that last verse. Verse 21, I want you to hear how the psalmist says this. This is David speaking. He says this, my mouth will praise the Lord. I will. Let's look at verse 1 and the first couple of verses. I will extol the Lord, my God and my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. No. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. We are not given the liberty of understanding or knowing what was going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. And I think there's great beauty in that. You know, those psalms, sometimes it gives a little blurb. It says, like, David wrote this when he was in the cave, he was running away, or he's just committed sin with Bathsheba or anything, and it tells you the thing. I think there's great beauty in realizing that we don't know what was going on in David's life, but he chose, I will praise the Lord. I think it's sometimes silly to assume everything's all good if someone is praising the Lord. No. It does not matter the circumstance that David found himself in. What does he say? I will praise the Lord. There are moments when we need to lead our soul with our body. Our soul sometimes does not feel like praising the Lord. I don't feel like looking to the Lord, but I will almost lead my soul with my body. One of the early church fathers, I was chatting with Declan and Pastor Thomas a couple weeks ago about this. John Chrysostom was an early church father, good lad. he pens this phrase, he says, I kneel with my body so that my soul will kneel to God. I kneel with my body so that my soul will kneel to God. And it's almost this leading of going, does not matter the circumstances that I am facing, I will lead my soul, whether I feel it or not, to praise the Lord. There are moments in following Christ where you will need to make a decision, I will extol the Lord. And it's hard. Nothing hard is ever easy. But isn't following Christ sometimes the narrow road? But it's worth it. It's the path. What does Christ say? It's the path to life. Sometimes we get this down in the dumps phase, like, nah, like I'm just going through this hard season, this valley. And it's like, no, I will praise the Lord. Why? The first point, He is good. He isn't my circumstance. He is unchangeable. He is worthy of praise. He is good. And I actually believe it. And there's moments we don't, and that is okay. That is when we lead our soul back to say, I will kneel with my body so my soul will kneel to God and come to this realization again. He is who He says He is. The greatest news you'll ever hear. This is a really simple message, but you guys tracking? God doesn't change. Sometimes we change. Our emotions change and we need to keep ourselves. The Bible, Paul, I think it's Paul or Jude writes this. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How does that work? I will choose to lead my soul to the Lord. I will choose. I'm not even done on this point yet. Let's spend a bit more time here. I had the privilege of FaceTimed this Anglican bishop a couple weeks ago. His name was Bishop Lindsay. He's a lad. He's such a nice guy. He lives in somewhere in London, and I reached out to him and I said, hey, I just want to ask you some questions on spiritual formation, see what your tradition, you know, holds and see if there's any wisdom that you have. And I was asking him about sort of discipline and what does it look like if I don't feel like praising God and I don't feel like doing devotion or doing these things and living for God, and I feel that my mind just becomes so preoccupied with the busyness of life and I forget God, and I don't want to, anyone feel like that? That's just me, maybe. I was like, what do you do? He said, Matt, you need to do things that will put yourself in the way of God. I will place myself, it's almost like God's like this image of God walking by. It's like, no, I will place myself on His path. What else is it like? It's like, I don't feel like praising God. I will lead my soul in the ways of God. I will choose, and it leads, and this is the beauty of what happens. You don't actually stay feeling bad after a while. When you're praising God, when you're getting this image of who He is, what He has done, what Christ has done, you begin to remember the upward call of God. Yeah. Things aren't as bad, and life can be going crazy, but my God is faithful, and this is the beauty of going, God, I don't understand, I don't feel like it, but I will place myself continually in your courts. I will choose to praise you, and something changes in your soul. Have you felt like that today? Maybe you didn't feel like praising the Lord today. Maybe you did not feel, maybe stuff's going so crazy, you did not want to. Maybe you're angry at God. Sometimes it is the confession, the admitting, God, I don't know what's going on, but I will choose to remind myself, this is who you are. When we think of, to be honest, the 2,000 years of history that we are a part of as a church, just a breath, 100 years in 2,000 years of the whole church as it's been birthed from Pentecost, we it's really interesting looking at the history of praise and worship and what that does to people and why. How did the church make it 2,000 years in the face of persecution? How did they get there? They were literally getting killed for their faith and they did not stop praising the Lord. Why? It did something to them. It's interesting. You don't need to go there in your Bible, but we see this history and tradition of praising God even before Christ. Obviously, we know that in Old Testament, the Davidic worship they had around the tent, around the temple, people ministering to the Lord with instruments, with song, with clapping. It was jubilant, I think the King James says it. It was jubilant in joy. God, I will praise you. And even further back than that, when God led Israel out of Egypt, what happens as soon as they cross the Red Sea in, I can't remember the chapter, I think it's Exodus 15. Moses sings this song of praise, this long song of praise. My soul will extol the Lord. I praise God for what He's done and what He is doing and who He will always be. There's this history. So from Moses, even through David, and even when you hit Jesus, there's this rich tradition of singing God's attributes that reminds our souls who He is. And it's not new. We didn't invent this. Modern Christian worship didn't invent this. We've just put a just tweaked the sound of it a little bit, and God's breathed on different aspects, and it's been shaped as it's grown. But it's this interesting thing, even in the early church, it's interesting. Paul writes in, I wonder if you've ever read Philippians, there's this chapter 2, it says this thing of Jesus, and it lists his attributes, how he's lifted up to heaven and humbled himself, and he's been given the name above every name. That, some scholars think it to be a song of praise, as an early church song of worship to God. What did it do? It didn't change. It's not like, because I sing this, now I feel like God's real and stuff. No, no, no. It's going, this is who he is. And they would sing theology. They would put to music confessions of, this is God. And my soul receives from that when I praise him. And it directs their gaze to Christ. So interesting. Early church history is so interesting. They would sing theology. We don't. We sing songs, but they would literally have creeds. They would just put to music. They'd be like, oh, like, go to a Coptic Orthodox church. They still do that. It's so interesting. And this tradition of directing my soul to praise God, and that it reminds my soul, I will praise him. I wonder if this challenges you. Praising is hard when life is hard. But Proverbs 27 says this, the crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. We are tested by our praise. The good thing about crucibles is that they bring out impurities. Sometimes praise brings out this unbelief almost sometimes in us. It's so interesting, eh? And it brings it to the surface. You can push it back down, but God, it is a gift that God is letting that come to the surface. And it's like you sort of like lift, and what the silversmith would do, he would take it off until there's no more impurities. And that is what praise does. Proverbs is comparing it to a crucible. It's like that little hot pot with the blowtorch, and then it just melts it all, and then the impurities blow. That is what praise does to us. Boils the impurities up until it becomes pure praise again. Not mixed with my praise is dependent on if I get the promotion at work, or if I'm more free when, you know, uni's not as hectic, or if, you know, we're in a good spot with family. No, no, no. It is those conditions that praise is put upon. It's like, no, 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 regardless of that, that's scooped away, regardless of how it is, I praise God because he's good. I praise him because he is good. Number 3, it puts our eyes on eternity. Praising leads us to live with eternity in mind. I wonder if you live that way, because I don't sometimes. Sometimes I'm so busy, we get so preoccupied with, to be honest, the work, life, whatever it is, family, all these commitments, and we become so busy that eternity isn't, it's in the back of our mind. But to be honest, sometimes it even slips from there. It's like, no, 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 God, I feel today, this is what I've been feeling all week. God is bringing our attention back to live for eternity. What else are we? What else would you want to live for? It actually doesn't last. It's good. God has placed you in a good world. I'm not saying that like where God has placed us and chasing, like stewarding what he has given us is a bad thing. No, 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 no. But when it takes our eyes off God, I feel like he's just bringing us back. It's this joyful correction. Have your eyes, have you forgotten the upward call in Christ Jesus? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, we're just going to go through a bit of scripture, and then we'll pray. Real simple. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16 says this, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Verse 18, underline this, highlight it, take a photo of it, put it as your lock screen. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, they're transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Jump over to Philippians chapter 3. I hope you guys have a Bible. I'm jumping around. Sometimes I don't give scriptures to on the screen. They're not behind me, but just bear with me. Are you guys doing good? Yeah. Is this speaking to anyone a little bit? Yeah. God would, I pray he would reorientate our hearts tonight. He's doing it all in love. It's such a, it's a joyful thing. It's this releasing thing. I don't have to live controlling my life as my own God. No. God is my God, and I get to live in this relief of he is my shepherd. I get to live with my eyes on him now. It's such a relieving thing. Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, not that I've already obtained this. Obtained what? This call. This, what we're talking about, this gaze, sometimes I lose my focus on that. Not that I've already obtained this or that I'm perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining on to what lies ahead, I press on to the upward goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Verse 14, let's read that again. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is an upward call. Our eyes sometimes are so God, like everything going on around me. I need to make sure I get work done. I need to make sure that family's all taken care of. I need to make sure my uni work's done. I need to make sure that I'm making sure, getting all these things. We control, we want security. But I feel like God would just breathe this breath of fresh air tonight. Keys can join me as well if that is all right. But I feel like God would just breathe this breath of fresh air. I don't need to be my God. I am not my own. I get to live with my eyes on the one who's secured everything. It's actually okay. I don't need to control everything. This is the upward call in Christ Jesus. And I feel that it's this jigging our metrics for, hang on, all these things I'm worried about. What did Jesus say to Martha? He said, you're worried about many things. They're not bad, but one thing is important. One thing is important. I wonder, do we live with eternity in mind? Are we living in a way that goes, God, no, I know work is so busy today, but I actually want and I need to bring myself into your, I bring myself to your presence, reorientate my heart, God, to remember you, to walk in your ways. What else is worth it? Everything else has your attention. Everything else calls for your attention. And yet God, it's like this still small voice. Sometimes he doesn't scream for your attention and he won't steal your attention. He won't fight for it. He invites us to go, search me. I've had it wrong way around. I need you to reflip things around to this upside down kingdom of going, God, I will choose to live with eternity in mind. And I trust that as I seek for, what does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. You don't need to care about the all things. You don't. You're not that good. You're not God. I'm not that good. And it's not worth wasting your time. It is worth following Christ and letting him. And it's this thing of like, this is why you see people like Pastor Don and Hannah. It's like, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I love that old hymn. Though peace like a river attendeth my way. Man, I'm speaking in King James. Or sorrows like sea waves roll. You have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Why? Because my eyes are on the upward call. Do you need to get your eyes back on Jesus tonight? Is he inviting you to that? He's not going to steal your attention. He's inviting you to give it to him. Why don't we just ponder on some of these questions real quickly? What are you sensing God prompting in your heart right now? Do you feel this? Do you feel the joyfulness of this call to live for eternity? This like almost like this door of like, no, it's narrow, but it's such a breath of fresh air. It is so much better. It is life in abundance. You don't have to live all for yourself anymore. We live for Christ. Or do you feel confronted by your lack of want to live for eternity? Sometimes we are. Sometimes those impurities rise up as we praise God, as we confess Him and we realize He's worth it. We realize our lack sometimes of having wanted that. Is that you today? There's an invitation in that. What occupies your mind throughout week to week? Is your drive for going, God, I don't know what it looks like. I want you. Teach me to live for eternity, God, to place my treasure in heaven, to seek first the kingdom again, to actually return to living for kingdom instead of myself? Or is it just the drive of your schedule? What is it that controls your life? Who is Lord of your life? Because if I look inwardly at mine, I'm going, sometimes, most of the time, I'm not ruled by Christ. And I want to be. And I think that is the position where we come to this place of going, God, I need you to search me. Know my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me to this upward call. Reorientate my mind.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.